Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
I am trying to move everybody to the Ustream chat room, then TalkShoe. But for now, I'm going to keep simulcasting. But it is another day. It is Mother's Day. And this is episode 118 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. A new time. We are going to be starting to, at least try to, broadcast our Sunday shows somewhere starting between 12 noon and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll have a more flexible range for having guests on, and the earlier the better for me, as with my current job, getting sleep in the afternoon as much as possible really, really helps when you have an overnight job. So so be sure to check webcomicbeacon.com/calendar for upcoming specified dates on when we are doing our shows. And if it doesn't say, that means I should probably edit the calendar right now and say when it's happening. PM. Okay, and there's that one. Okay, all right. I'm Fess of PSIWebcomic.com, and with me is Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Hello.
And we do not have Tanya today. Being Mother's Day, we likely don't have many people listening to this show right now, and maybe Tanya's hanging out with her mom or something like that. And I got to call my mom too yet. Maybe I'll call her on the show. yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Call your mama.
And with us this week, actually, Mark, you're supposed to be running the show this week.
Oh, I am. Well, hello, everybody. This is Mark here. With us, we have Philippa Rice, who does a comic strip that gives a whole new meaning to the term cut and paste. My Cardboard Life is a really wonderful comic strip that is made with collage. And Philippa is with us today. Hello, Philippa.
Hi.
And I'm going to ask, do you consider this a comic strip? I guess, is that the proper term?
Yeah, I don't see comic, I don't see what else it would be.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's got panels. So yeah, I guess it is.
Okay. I haven't seen very many comics that do what you do. I think I've seen maybe one. What was that one fest that was it? The Felt
It is Felt Up. And it's it's at feltup.org,
and it's still,
I think
still
it
running.
I think it used to be cut felt, but I think she made the change to basically she scanned a bunch of felt, and she cuts and drop shadows it in Photoshop. So
okay.
I've not heard of that one. Gonna have a look at it now.
So is your cardboard life entirely physical?
It's all done by hand?
Yeah, it is, all of it. Obviously, you have to scan it and maybe change a couple of things on Photoshop, maybe like the lighting if the scan comes out a bit darker or anything like that. But yeah, it really is just all done by hand. And yeah, do the writing by hand and everything else. It's probably not the most sensible move in a way because, you know, I could, if I scanned all the bits individually, I could reuse them, and but I don't do that. So there you go.
But that's nice, though. I mean, to have the physicality of it rather than all.
Yeah, because I suppose I've got like the finished thing in a folder looking exactly the same as it does online. So that's kind of nice, although I'm the only one who sees those. So.
Is yeah. It the panels? How big are they? Just generally, because they look sort of like Post-it notes on the comic.
Yeah, lots of people say that they're about the same size as a Post-it note. They're 3-inch squares, but they're just card that I've cut out to that size, and that's just the size I started making them. And I sort of can't. I mean, it would be nice to make them bigger, I could put more detail in there if I did, but it would totally change the way everything looks if I ever did that, especially when some of the characters who have been in it are things like a stamp or a penny or something, and the scale's just completely different if I was to make a bigger panel. But yeah, usually it's 3-inch squares.
So let's go through the cast. I love the cast.
Thanks.
So first we have I guess it's fair to say he's the star, is Cardboard Colin. Tell us about Cardboard Colin.
Well, I guess that is the first character I came up with and what the whole thing kind of started with. And yeah, that's why he's the most basic thing and just essentially just a piece of cardboard, or two pieces of cardboard, let's be honest, a square and a rectangle with a face on it. So yeah, it's not exactly the most complex object. And yeah, he's just, I suppose when it first started, he didn't really have any kind of persona other than just that he was made of cardboard. And now he's kind of picked up this personality where he's a bit sort of, I don't know, I guess he's a bit of a loser, or maybe a bit naive, that sort of character.
And his dog is made of two pieces of cardboard.
Yeah, his dog is exactly the same, but slightly offset so that it's not standing up. And it's got four legs. Yeah, that is more or less the only difference.
And then his... then Cardboard Colin has a friend, Paper Pauline, whose name rhymes with mean.
Oh, I never even thought of that. But yeah, I guess it does.
She's a bit mean.
She is mean. She's horrible.
I think my favorite thing I've seen with her is Business Pauline, where she wears a business suit and wants to devour coffee and human souls.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of people like Business Pauline. I don't know. Business Pauline's sort of like, she doesn't seem to actually know anything about business particularly. She's perhaps watched a few episodes of The Apprentice and it's got all her ideas about business from that.
And she's like the main supporting character because she's in there a lot. Why is she so mean? Why is she so horrid? Why is she so mean?
Well, sometimes she's just... generally, she's mean to Colin, and I think it's just maybe a sign that they're such close friends that she feels like she can be mean to him and it's okay and it's not going to risk their friendship. Maybe it's something to do with that. Or maybe she's just a bit of a nasty sort of high-maintenance kind of person and she can't help it.
And then we have, Dr. Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
Who's an actual, Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Is it a Band-Aid or is it a bandage? Band-Aid's a trademark name.
Well, I don't really know what a Band-Aid actually is, because that's sort of, I think that's like an American thing, isn't it? A Band-Aid?
Oh, yeah,
because here we'd call that a plaster.
Plaster.
And that's what it... Because when he was first in it, he wasn't even called Dr. Band-Aid. He was just Colin's doctor, and he was just called the doctor.
Okay, I'm trying to find where this doctor is. You call them plasters?
Yeah, just a plaster.
That's weird.
They used to be, and I could be wrong, that used to be like what you would use on a small cut was a form of like plaster, I think.
Plaster's
so the name just stuck to the adhesive strip version.
Plaster's makes sense. Plaster's granulated gypsum mixed with water.
Well, yeah. I want to say it's like a Victorian thing. Was you would put what they would call a bit of plaster over a small cut, like when you're shaving or something.
Huh.
Yeah, I think it's just what people call it. I mean, I suppose if it's actually a bandage, I don't know, because I always think bandage would be what you would have for like a sling or...
An adhesive bandage or something like that.
Yeah,
because Band-Aid is just a brand name. Kleenex, like Kleenex tissues.
Xerox or something. But so the doctor, he's a bit of a player. He's
that's another thing where, like, because he was first in it just as a doctor, and that was just sort of the joke, like, oh, here's a doctor, and he happens to be a plaster, and then he just picked up this personality from, I can't even remember how that first happened, and now he's a real sort of ladies' man, and he's got a bit of an obsession with Pauline. From one sort of story arc where they were seeing each other for a while, but it didn't work out.
No. There's a jingle for Band-Aids. It's something like, you're stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids are stuck on you.
Oh.
Well,
that is quite romantic in a way.
as long as it's not somebody else's Band-Aid that's stuck on you.
No.
Because that'd be really, really gross.
That is gross.
Stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids stuck on you, meaning they don't just, you know, fall off or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then there's the polar bear. Does he have a name? Does the polar bear have a name?
No, he doesn't. And I think it's probably too late now for me to make him have any kind of name, because he's been in it from quite near the beginning. It's just called the polar bear. He's kind of a bit of a mysterious
the polar
guy,
bear.
Really. Yeah.
And he does seem a bit cross a lot of the time. He seems a bit grumpy.
He just got out of
hibernation or something.
Well, perhaps that, or maybe, I mean, I think any polar bear this day and age has got plenty of reasons to be a little bit grumpy.
It's true.
I mean, considering, you know, the global warming issue and things like that, and also why, because the polar bear is sort of meant to be Colin's pet, which is also, you know, slightly strange and not fair on him, really. So I suppose he's got a good reason to be grumpy.
And now let's see, Colin has an aunt made out of tin foil, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Sylvia Foyle. She's been in it a few times. I don't really like her. Not because of anything. She's a nice person and everything. It's just that she's really annoying to, like, cut out and stick. She's not in it very much for that reason.
I was wondering about that, because foil is very hard to work with.
It is. And it blunts the scissors. It blunts my scalpel. And the way I do it is I stick double-sided tape on the back of the foil and then cut it out. And it's fine at that point. But then when I actually peel the, you know, like the thing that you get on the back of double-sided tape, when I peel that off, it just goes all over the place. And, it's tricky.
I wonder if there's, like, another kind of material that would work for that. There must be, like, a reinforced thing. It's got to be.
Yeah, I think that there must be some sort of foil that is... like a thicker version of it, like this sort of maybe the kind of silver tin stuff that you might get.
Steel foil, that'll be tougher.
Yeah. But then it wouldn't look the same. It would be wrinkle in the same way. So
So I have to ask: is this something that like might have like maybe evolved from like a school project or something?
Not really specifically. I think I must have done quite a lot of collage things, because I did animation at university, and I used to do quite a lot of things with like different materials and cut out things like that. So I think maybe it's an extension of that, you know, like using little separate bits of things as opposed to drawing. So, but it's not really an extension of, like, a specific project that I've ever started before.
You work with fabrics, though, right? Do you work in a shop with fabrics, or...?
No, yeah, I work for a menswear company who make scarves and ties, and my job is to make fabric swatches, like sample swatches, and things like that, kind of just, like... making things for the designers, really. So I do get a lot of free fabric and yeah, cut out a lot of materials during the day.
Wow, that's wonderful. I'm just curious how you started making a comic strip. You've done animation and you've done these other things.
Yeah, well, I think the idea for My Cardboard Life, at first it was going to be like a children's picture book. Mm-hmm. And so I had this idea about Cardboard Colin. And it was like a short story, but I never really finished it. And it was just kind of in my sketchbook. And then I sort of found it again and really wanted to do something with that character. And yeah, a comic strip seemed to be the best thing to do, because instead of having one story and that's it, it can just go on forever, and that's what it's going to do. Or maybe not forever.
Well, until you go on indefinite hiatus like everybody else.
It's a notorious webcomic thing. When you go on hiatus, it's a bad sign.
Yeah. Well, I haven't started that yet, so
it's unlike Doctor Who, where he actually does come back.
I've been on hiatus I don't know how many times, but I'm still kind of going for 4 years. Oh boy. Jeez, that's a lot. Yeah. Okay.
Your comic has a lot of great color in it too.
Mm-hmm.
I was struck by just this interesting range of colors you have, and they're bright and very friendly. And I don't think a lot of comicers do that. I've seen maybe a handful, and I don't think they exist anymore. Where they actually push that color out there. I think Hallie's comic was one where he did the backgrounds in, you know, a bright teal or a bright orange, or it's just something interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think the first original reason for having it really bright was just because, with the main character being a piece of cardboard, and it's like the dullest thing you could see, it was trying to be some sort of contrast to that. You know, like this guy's just completely dull, but then he's living in a world which is, you know, a lot more exciting. But now there's a lot more going on with it. But I've just kind of got these colours that I get the card in, really, and that's what it ends up looking like.
Wow. you also like to draw cities, futuristic cities.
Oh, yeah, that's like a separate thing, really, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm struck by how they look like a cross between the Secret City show and Dr. Seuss.
Oh, yeah.
And how they're just so whimsical and so interesting and intricate. You've done some videos of these too, which I think everyone should see, because they're really clever.
Oh, thank you. Well, that making the videos of them is like a new thing that I just tried it out once, and I will probably do some more, because when I draw those things, I'd like to do them all. Like if I do like an A3 drawing, say, of a city, if I don't finish it all in one go, I just won't go back to it and finish it. So if I'm filming myself, then I will like carry on, because it's like I'm being watched. So I just keep going till the end. So yeah, but then it turned out looking quite good when it was filmed. So yeah, I think I will do some more of those at some point.
And how now the videos I saw, they're like 2 to 4 minutes, I think. How long does it actually take to do the drawing? Because it's all speeded up.
I think it was about an hour or something, maybe a bit more, because I can't remember. It's like a time-lapse video where it takes one picture for every second. So normally with animation, it would be like 24 pictures per second,
yeah.
And it's taking, yeah, it's too difficult for me to work out, but yeah, it just speeds it up by that much, really. Yeah, I think it was probably an hour for the one where I'm drawing it.
Yeah, I like to see stuff like that. I keep meaning to do something like that myself, but with my art, I'm such rubbish at it, actually. I have to go into Photoshop and fix all the mistakes. I couldn't.
You could film that too and show the whole process in
That's
one video.
True. I've been thinking about it. I know there's some apps and things that you can get, so it just records everything you're doing on the computer itself. I've seen some of those. I should look into that. Oh, maybe I'll do that. I don't know.
Yeah, because that would be quite a good way of like showing people how like to do things and how to use Photoshop to do things.
Yes, I use a very old Photoshop. I use I have the newer one, C4, but everything I do for the comic everything I do on the comic is in Photoshop Elements 2. So it's a bit creaky, but it has everything I need.
When did Elements come out? I don't remember.
It's been a while. It came with my original Graphire 3 tablet. And the newer ones I don't like, but that one, everything's laid out really nice and all the tools are there that I normally use. But I do have the new Photoshop too. I just never use it for the comic, really.
Yeah, I only use Photoshop 7.1. It works just fine for everything I do. So, no need to get any more. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back,
more.
Yeah, we'll come back.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum.
Yeah, I did that. Well, there's not... I guess you'd think there'd be more comics like this. And I'm gonna hijack the show just a little bit. And when I was in college, and I took this art class that everybody wanted to take, but you can only take it if you're in certain courses or whatever. But okay, you remember what was it? That caterpillar book where the caterpillar ate food and ate a bite out of fruit and stuff.
The very hungry caterpillar.
Yeah,
yeah.
We learned how that was done. And essentially, it was you have paper and you have watercolors, and you just take a big piece of paper and you just make some fun painting all over that, kind of like so it looks like just like a kind of background essentially, and then you cut shapes out of that after it dries, and then you use those shapes to make your caterpillar parts. The fruit, the ground, the sky. I ended up cutting together a fairy or something like that because I couldn't think of what else to make. But it looks really, really cool. And I kind of wanted to do a comic in kind of like that style, but I can't think of anything original. But you'd think in webcomics, you'd see more of the real media creation versus, your traditional drawn, if that makes sense. Otherwise, I mean, you still have your pixel webcomics out there, which isn't really drawn. It's a little bit more finite in working with. And then there's your stick figures, which is still drawn, but it's, you know, very more simplistically drawn. And then, you know, you have some of your photo comics, which go in a different direction that wasn't really seen in print a whole lot, I don't think at all. But it's certainly gaining a lot of steam on web comics, it appears. And we'll actually be having, later this summer, or hopefully soon, we'll be having another photo comics show. So we're going to have more people on for that, so that'll be cool.
Good.
But I won't go into that right now. As soon as I confirm more people, then I'll blab about it. But you know, I've seen Felt Up before, and even then, that was the only one I knew that that kind of did it, even though by the point that I was seeing it, it wasn't real media anymore. So if there are people out there that have seen real media comics such as this, send an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com and let's just see what's out there. Because
love to see them.
Yeah, I mean, if something like this is has a great ability to expand on the content. I mean, you also have your photo comics, which are photo comics of, like, say, toys. Which is also another category. I guess we should go into at some point.
Or,
but you know,
the Legos is, as well.
Yeah, Legos even, well, which is another type of photo comic. But you know, this is, you know, flat media. I mean, there's a lot you can do with this. I mean, Philippa, is that correct? How I'm saying that, Philippa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I find it weird that no one knows his name, like, apart from maybe in the UK and, like, Australia.
I mean,
have you not heard it before?
I guess it's like Camilla. We don't really use that over here.
Yeah. It's one of those names where it's just a boy's name that's been...
puts an A, like, at the end.
Yeah. You know, like Nigella or something like that.
Marca.
Marca.
Marca. Fessa.
Like
Jonna.
A marker pen. Well, yeah.
That's me, Marca.
And have you yet to actually, I mean, obviously your comic does benefit from being able to joke from its, well, being aware of its media, because you make some jokes of glue, the paper, the things that are there, which,
like, Pauline can roll herself up and hide.
Yeah.
Well, at first, the majority of the jokes were about, like, being paper or card. It was a lot of puns about card and things like that. And now I suppose I've probably run out of jokes about paper now, so it's actually having to have some proper storylines. But if I ever think of any more, then I will have them. Those seem to be the most popular ones for some reason, you know, or some of the most popular ones.
Just go on a tear.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask was, have you yet, because I'm still kind of scrolling through, I'm just in 2009 here, have you yet to actually come, I guess, a little bit more 3D, like, because this is really flat media, you have your panels, everything's just on a page. Have you ever come across anything which you actually pulled away a little bit and gone a little bit more 3D or?
I know what you mean. And because I scan it, as soon as something gets too big, it makes a lot of shadows on the rest of the panels. And it's sort of like troublesome for me because I can't really fix that. Or, you know, it takes a long time to sort that out in Photoshop. And I think the biggest thing I ever had on there was a peg. Like a clothes peg. That is like one of my worst ones because it was just looked really dark and it wasn't even a very good joke. But I also had one with biscuits, like cookies or something, and they were quite big. But they came out all right, really, because
cookies are a little bit more flat than a.
Yeah, they are actually still a flat shape for scanning.
But you've done some dioramas too.
Oh,
yeah, well, I did one.
I haven't done dioramas since high school.
You did the tea party, I think, right?
I did, yeah. That was for to take to a comic convention, which was in March. And now I'm making a new one for another comic convention. It's just to sort of have on my table. I guess it's just there for people to take photos of or something. Yeah, so the one I'm making now is going to be a picnic. And I've made the background and everything, and I've just got to make the actual characters to go in it now.
Oh, that's wonderful. Are there a lot of comic conventions there in the UK? I know there's the comic convention thing, or thang. Or, I think.
Yeah, it's got some really long name. But yeah, basically it's called UK Web and Mini Comics thing. Yeah, that was in March, and then there's MCM Expo, which is like a much bigger one. And I've not done that one before, but I'll be there at the end of this month. and there's two of those. There's one in May and there's one in October. And then there's Thought Bubble, which is in November. And there's actually loads more as well. So, yeah, there definitely are quite a few conventions.
It's nice to have the presence there, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. And you do you, merchandise? Do you have, like, cardboard cardboard stuff? To?
I have. I've got I make mini comics, which I sort of make by hand and assemble those all myself. And then I've also got...
I'm sorry. I'm reading your comic while you're talking. Sorry.
Oh. yeah, also I've got some mugs, which I made those for the that UK thing convention. What else? Oh, I've got some badges and things like that, which I take to conventions. Yeah, and I'll try and come up with some new things at some point, but it's just when do I find the time to do it, really.
I'm just struck by the range of materials you put into this thing, because there's fabric, there's cardstock, there's cardboard, there's band-aids, there's,
there's
all sorts of things. And it's very clever. I mean, is there a fabric you just want to get your hands on and try, like, I don't know, like a shag rug or something?
I don't know. There's not. I can't think of anything off the top of my head which I've wanted to work with and I haven't. Because normally, if I think of something, I'll try and find it. You know, I'll track it down. Like there've been a couple of strips where I had a blue plaster in it, like a blue Band-Aid.
Oh yeah.
And that was. I went to quite a few shops to find that one because it's sort of. I think it's. Quite specific for like the catering industry.
Yeah, it's they wear the blue plasters because if they lose it, they can find it easily in the mix.
Yeah, because there's not there aren't any foods which are like properly bright blue like that.
Yeah, was he a chef? I'm trying to think if you.
Yeah,
made
he's
him
a chef. Yeah,
he was a chef.
I don't know if that's a bit disgusting or not, but...
It makes total sense, though, that he's a blue plaster.
But, yeah, that's one example of one that was a bit tricky to find. But, yeah, normally I can find everything that I've wanted to use and try and think of new things that I haven't tried yet. And sometimes I'll sort of walk around the supermarket and looking at the different things that maybe I could use and... have got ideas that way before.
Now, cardboard Carl is Colin's dad.
Yeah.
And he's one of the newer characters. There's a bit of Lord Flashheart about him, I think.
Yeah.
Which is probably the best way to describe him. He's sort of like Lord Flashheart from Blackadder. This larger than life, insanely crazy. Brian Blessed type guy, I guess.
Yeah, Brian Blessed is kind of the direction I was like thinking of. yeah, at first he was going to be like, my original idea for him was that he was going to be a bit mean to Colin, like, because Colin's a bit babyish and a bit weak, that was going to be a thing. But then, you know, I kind of thought there's enough people being nasty to Colin already. Like, he doesn't need any more people bullying him. So Carl's actually quite nice, really, and people seem to like him. So I think I'm going to keep him as someone who's actually nice. Although he's not very nice to the animals.
No. and you've got the spoon. Does the spoon have a name?
No, he's just the spoon. Just spoon. Yeah.
And he's not a very nice spoon.
He's a bit of a prankster.
Guilty. It's really quite wonderful.
Yeah, he's quite tricky as well because he's like just a plastic teaspoon. There's only so many kind of poses that he can do, because he can't like tilt his head or anything. His arms are just drawn with a pen, and he can only ever be that one size. So you can't really. I can zoom in on his face in Photoshop, but I don't really like doing stuff like that. So that's why he's not really in it too much. Or sometimes I write things for him that I can never use because he just won't. I can't like make him move enough, really.
Oh, that's just wonderful. I've always been struck by how much variety you get into this thing with just simple things with pennies and and Colin's nephews and and how everyone is. A lot of people, even his mom, is kind of mean to Colin.
Yeah, she is mean.
Where she would, I think, I remember the one where she would rather have a picture of Pauline rather than Oh, they're really, really quite marvelous.
Thanks.
Do you want to do like books and things or things like that, or that book that you initially started with the project?
Oh, would I ever like make a bigger book kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah, I think that is my plan to eventually do that. And I think I've probably got enough strips now that I maybe could do that, to like collect them all and have a book of, you know, with loads of pages. Because I'm nearly at 300 strips now, and I don't know how many of those I would want, like, that I'm actually happy with. But yeah, that is the next thing that I will do. When I get round to it, you know.
Get round to it. Do you want to do children's books and things like that? Are you interested in that?
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I've wanted to do before I even started doing comics, really. And I was sort of trying to get into that. And it's something I would like to try and get into again, I suppose. But it is quite difficult to start with that, really.
Yeah, is it the writing, or is it getting into the industry?
Yeah, like getting your foot in the door, sort of thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not impossible, but it's sort of like if you're going to be sending stuff off to do that, I think it takes a lot of time.
Yeah. I saw on your blog, or I think it's on the Cardboard Life site, it looks like a pamphlet called Paper Science. What's that about?
Oh, right, yeah, so basically in the UK, there's a sort of, I suppose you could call it a collective, it's not really a collective, it's like all different comics artists from the UK, like a sort of anthology, and Paper Science 1 was already out, and then Paper Science 2 was one that was for Free Comic Book Day, which was last Saturday, and I did the cover for that, and I had one of my comic strips in there. And then there's loads of other people, all the links are on that same blog post, like just really amazing people whose work are all in the same one. So yeah, that's what that was.
Okay,
and
I think they've
distributed all of those now because everyone just wanted them. But then the collective is called We Are Words and Pictures. And I think the website is probably, there's a link on my blog, and you can get a PDF of the whole thing from there if you want to read it. And then I think the idea is that if anyone, because it's like a newspaper as opposed to a book.
Right.
And you get, like, if you contact them, you can arrange to have like a print run so that it could, you know, like anybody could have that made and distributed, which I think is a really nice idea.
That's a great way to get the art out there, especially if people haven't heard about a given artist, a given comic, or whatever.
Yeah,
totally get that out there. That's quite clever.
We have John Peters in the chat room chatting up about somebody named Daniel Crozier. Probably saying that wrong, but he does comic work, and he uses wood and wood etching, apparently, to make his comics. Nothing online except for a Deviant Art account. He has some work using wood burning and such, and I'm looking at it now, and it just... That's crazy. It doesn't really look like... It looks like pencils, really. I'd need to see, like, a video of him making this stuff, if this truly is wood burning. Like, crazy. So
wood burning?
Yeah, wood burning. Is that, where you have, like, you heat
up... I've never even heard of it.
Oh, it's another one of those American things, like paint by number.
No, it's not paint by... No, it's not. Wood burning is where... Okay, do you have, like, this...
Well, I remember kits. I remember kits like a paint by number. That's what I mean, where you would get what looks like a pencil, but you plug it in, and the tip heats up. And then you can use it to scorch lines and shapes into soft wood.
That doesn't sound very safe to me.
It's not. As a kid, I had a wood-burning kit. Of course, you know, see, the way that this thing is shaped, like, in the way that it's designed, you're supposed to hold it back farther on like, say, where you hold a pen. Normally, we always have a habit of holding, you know, close to the tip, you know, like...
Yeah.
See, I would forget this sometimes, so I would grab this really, really hot, essentially soldering iron, almost, and by the tip, where most of the heat was.
Oh, no.
And so I would burn, like, three of my fingers. and I wouldn't make anything like this. It's basically me just, like, pushing as hard as I can.
We've all burnt our fingers on it.
That's the worst place to have a burn as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and these are sold to kids, too. they used to be like you could get a kit like a paint-by-number or like a how-to-draw type of kit, and it would be a wood-burning kit that you could get for Christmas or birthday or whatever.
And, like a craft set kind of thing.
Yeah, it's sort of a craft thing, and I'm sure house fires have begun from the kid putting the tool down and forgetting about it and walking away.
Oh, certainly.
I'm sure that's happened, no doubt.
Let's see. This person's website can be found at thothengine.net for those listening. thothengine.net. And we got to take one more break, and when we come back, we've got news, milestones, and other crap to talk about.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
I'm not. I wonder if they probably don't even sell that stuff in the UK, because it doesn't sound very clever, unless you're a proper.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I guess it probably is. I don't know.
Everything's so safety
like,
up over
craft
here,
sets, different like knitting Nancy or foil art or things like that.
Do you guys have lawn darts in the UK?
Lawn darts.
What?
Or maybe they're called jarts.
Oh, jarts. They're like
otherwise maybe they're garden jarts there. You know, like
it's sort of like horseshoes in a way. The game was banned here.
Yeah, think of really large playing darts, you know, throwing darts at a wall. Only it's like this long sort of metal poker, and it has and you know, at the end of a dart has, like, these, you know, this winged effect, kind of like an arrow. Only it's this big plastic thing that will shuffle up and down the spoke. And you're supposed to, like, hold them from the end and kind of throw them up in the air to arc them up. and throw it, and so they come down into like this circle you have on the ground,
like horseshoes that way.
I'm just imagining a lot of hideous accidents that
and
could
yes,
be caused
yes, that happened.
So yeah,
they make safer versions of it now, but they're still dangerous. it's basically instead of a big poker, it's like this big weight. So instead of puncture wounds, you get bruises. But,
but yes, it sounds like a fun game, though.
Yeah, it was awesome. I loved it.
I've played them before. I never hurt anybody, fortunately. But
oh, well, then you're doing it wrong.
That must be. It's what us silly Americans come up with, you know, with our motor car. Crazy stuff we do. Mythbusters.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
We have some blah, 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 things to discuss or to talk about. I gotta find it. We have milestones today, and and since Tanya's not here, and I see if you have a milestone where you have like an anniversary of your comic, reach 100 strips, 500 or 1,000, you know, let us know at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Blanket at blanketcomics.com has reached 200 updates, and a lot has happened in those 200 updates for sure. And so congratulations on that. We also have Much the Miller's Son at muchthecomic.com has turned 3 years. That's a comic hosted on the Rampage Network, of which the Webcomic Beacon is also hosted on at rampagenetwork.com. And that's actually all I have for milestones in the Webcomic Beacon account.
Oh, well, there is one more.
Oh.
There's this lousy little comic called Autumn Lake that reached 4 years.
Really? It's only been 4 years?
It's only been 4 years.
I could have sworn you did your comic longer than I had. For some reason.
Well, it's been around longer, just not as a webcomic.
Right.
But it's 4 years old as of, I don't know what, the second.
Close enough.
Are you going to have a birthday party for it?
Yeah, that's where I make a post and nobody reads it.
Oh, come on.
No, I think you should have an actual party.
An actual party?
Yeah, a tea party.
I have cardboard. I could cut out friends. Post them about.
Well, the most important thing isn't the friends, it's the tea and the cakes.
Oh, cake.
I just got my TARDIS cookie jar.
Goodness.
It's not actually a porcelain cookie jar, it's plastic. And the top of the TARDIS is hinged and you open it up. And there's a space inside for cookies. Unlike the real TARDIS, it's smaller on the inside than it is on the outside. So I thought I would fill it with packets of tea, which seem more appropriate than cookies.
Well, you could put Jammy Dodgers in it.
I could do that.
Because I don't know, have you seen the
latest? I don't think he's seen him yet.
I haven't seen. I've seen bits. I'm preparing to watch the new Doctor.
Yeah, I gave him a CD of the first four episodes. He has yet to see those. I'm caught up. I know what you're talking about because I've seen them. So
Jammy Dodgers. What are they?
It's just a biscuit that's just like a plain sort of cookie with jam and some kind of cream filling in the middle.
It's
got like a hole in the middle of it so you can see the jam. And they're quite nice. They're not my favorite biscuit. They're maybe in like the top 20. So, yeah.
I just want to tell Philippa real quick. I know what you're talking about. And though I have to say, I was incredibly suspicious when I first saw it. And I was correct. So... Mark, you got to get up on that. So, as far as everything else, what the hell? Okay. John Peterson is calling them hobnobs or something like that.
Hobnobs.
That's a different biscuit.
Yeah.
They're good biscuits, Hobnobs. They're like a classic biscuit.
I want to get Rosetta Stone UK English version and just see what happens. If I can handle it or not. It's just the differing words are just crazy to me. I'm sure it is vice versa too, so
I don't know why there are so many, but yeah.
Like Jaffa cakes.
Jaffa cakes aren't very nice. Like that lots of people don't like that.
Jaffa?
Yeah.
Is that another way where they take like a male name and they make it a girl name by putting
that is just a brand name. I don't think anyone ever said that. Like,
okay. You don't have any friends named Marka and Jaffa?
No, I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes, thanks for coming on the show.
Me.
I absolutely love your comic strip, and I'm glad I found it.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's a lot. It's really quite quite different, and I think folks could learn a lot from reading it and get a lot of laughs out of reading it too.
Well, all right. Well, that really is all that there is for the show this week of the Webcomic Beacon. So we're just gonna go ahead and sign out. And always, this is Fess of PSIWebcomic.com,
and this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
And this is Philippa Rice from MyCardboardLife.com.
Thanks, y'all, for coming this week. Tune in next week when we talk about Lego Brick Comics.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at WebcomicBeacon.com.
Fourth of July, can't really move that because it's kind of in the name of the holiday.
But you know, the historians would change it if they felt they wanted to. You know, like some
they actually people. Signed it on the 3rd of July.
Oh, it was daylight savings. It turned out that they didn't change their clocks.